Hey, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I'm your host again today. And back, by popular demand, Jake Loft from the J-Loft Company operates out of St. Louis, Missouri, doing all kinds of political stuff for politicians, trying to get them elected.
Quote, political stuff.
Yeah, political stuff.
It's hard to define what that is.
And you've been doing it for a long time. But you got your start. You got your start at St. Francis Holy Ghost Schools, right?
Yeah.
And we recently had the Harvest Fest. And you came back for the Harvest Fest.
I did, yeah. I haven't been in years. Yeah. It's whenever I was going to St. Francis in the year 2000, it was the second annual Harvest Fest. And it has been going ever since.
I know. And it keeps getting better and better every year.
Yeah, they put on a good program. They always do. Yeah.
And they're so organized.
Yeah. I remember whenever I was in school and when I was in high school, I came and played with the jazz band. And
they still do that.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a good community like builder.
Yeah. I think they were parked, you know, like, I don't know, two, three blocks away. People were parked.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I remember going to school then and setting the parking.
What grade were you in back then on the second
hall? That was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten?
Yeah.
Kindergarten was the first Harvest Fest for you?
Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah.
I guess it was.
Yeah, 2000.
Kindergarten. Who's your teacher?
Judy Kerback was my teacher.
Judy Kerback. Oh, yeah. She was Katie's and Jenny's teacher, too.
Nice. And who's the other one? So Susan Ayers was the other kindergarten teacher at the time.
And, okay. And I think, are they still the same teachers?
I don't know.
No, could be.
So
you went all the way through to your eighth grade and then on to Jersey. And then on to Mizzou.
Yeah.
And then on to D.C.
Yeah. Then I quit D.C. and now I'm back.
Yeah, you're back to
I hung it up in D.C.
Just a funny story. Now, Katie, was she in your grade?
No, Katie is probably 3 years ahead of me in school.
3 years out. Okay. She was in kindergarten. Jenna was in first grade. And we had an apartment at Lorton Hotel, nightclub, bar, restaurant, et cetera. And we were living there and we would walk them to the school every day. One day, Katie came back and she had an envelope in her hand and she gave it to her mom and said, "Mrs. Kerback told me to give you this." And Brenda opens it up and it's a $20 bill. All right. And there's a note attached to it. And of course she was in this restaurant growing up in this restaurant bar atmosphere, right? You know, with us,
which is great. I think more people need to be exposed to all of that stuff at a young age.
Anyway, Mrs. Kerback, the note said, "I'm returning this $20 bill to you. Katie tried to buy a round of chocolate milks for the classroom today." We laughed pretty hard about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mrs. Kerback, the teachers at St. Francis Holy Ghost, they don't get paid as much, you know, as they could at a public school, but they sure do a heck of a job teaching.
Oh, they take great care of the kids over there. I remember whenever I got out of St. Francis and went to the high school, first thing I told my mom when I got home, she's like, "Oh, how was your first day of public school?" And I was like, they don't tell you what to do here. Run amok. I can just do whatever I want. I can leave school. I can just drop out of school right now. Nobody's watching me."
It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. This is what they promised me.
So, you're here because you're my inside guy on politics. You always know what's going on. I can listen to the news or I can watch it on TV, et cetera, but you got that inside scoop, and I love getting you here to talk about stuff.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you all sorts of fun stuff.
Hey, we'll talk about Trump a little bit because he's doing so many.
How can you not?
I mean, this guy is man, he's crazy. the stuff he does. And, and so hard hitting, you know, he moves so fast, you know, and he's got a heck of a, I mean, you should be good if you surround yourself with great people, and he's got a heck of a cabinet.
Right. That is the biggest difference between the first term and the second term, is that everybody is totally locked into the movement. They have nothing to lose. They're not, he's not running for re-election, so there's nobody whispering fake polls in his ear all the time.
Uh-huh.
Right? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
he's like not endorsing congressmen. He's like, none of this has anything to do with me. I'm here to make America great again.
I'm on a mission.
I'm not doing politics anymore. I'm hosting world leaders in the Oval Office.
Yes.
That's so funny. The showmanship with that, when he brings everybody in, shifts them all in, puts them in little chairs. Like, he's there, like, holding court, and you've got, like, Macron and, like, Zelensky in, like, little fold-up chairs. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
And it's all a staged effort, and they're all into the other guys are all in on it, too. They know, like, what they're signing up for when they go to the Oval Office. Like, well, I'm the entertainment for the day.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
and I think it's so fun,
and just always making a point of signing those orders. You know.
Oh, you know, so fun thing about that is the guy that holds the executive orders and reads them out, like, to the president, like what they are.
Yeah,
that guy is big with my group in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like half of the White House is staffed with like people from Missouri.
Really?
Yeah. So Will Scharf is that guy's name, mm-hmm. and the office is called Office of the Secretary of, I don't even remember what it is, but it's a very important position. Brett Kavanaugh held it at one time for George Bush. He used to be the executive order reader and the cabinet secretary or something.
You think you could get that shot one day?
Oh, I'm not an attorney. It's actually, it's more than a narrating job. They actually write it. And, but so Scharf is up there, and he brought all of his buddies from Missouri, now work in the White House too. I think that's a lot of fun. Like, I know more people in the White House than probably 99% of America.
I'll be done. That's great.
Yeah. But they're all great. That's just part of him surrounding himself with good people. I heard that he found Will. Will was like a snarky Twitter guy. And I was told that the president was a big social media connoisseur. He found him. He's like, I need this guy on my team.
Yeah.
And they used to send him out. He was on the news all the time for the impeachment and stuff.
I see.
Fraud, yeah. Impeachment.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, some of the moves Trump's making, like, you know, with the tariffs and, you know, ICE deporting. I mean, he closed up the border, like, just boom.
Closed.
I mean,
just we're closed.
Closed. We're closed for business.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. I mean, it's amazing.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah. But, you know, something kind of crazy is, you know, blowing up Iran's nuclear operation like he did. I mean, whoa, you know, was there anything going on? They thought he was going to do that.
He says,
I mean, he said, but
I don't know why we wouldn't believe him. Yeah, dude, he's going left and right. He blew up those guys. He is live streaming missiles taking out drug cartel boats in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of, what better deterrent is there than that? That's literally the same. It's like whenever cops like perp walk people, like, look, we're gonna get you. We're doing that to we're gonna get you. Watch out.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's not more backlash from that.
There kinda is. A lot of people are like, what about the due process? I'm what about the senator that went down to El Salvador to pretend to have coffee with that illegal immigrant? Like, yeah, there's plenty of weird things that go on both sides, but there's nothing wrong with taking out a terrorist.
No.
Their due process is over. That's the same thing as anything else.
I get it. I get it. I mean,
boat full of drugs. Yeah, they could get the wrong guy. I mean, you know, we can't all. We have to make sure that we follow some kind of process.
And but I think they're doing due diligence.
Yeah,
on that,
they're doing. Sure. You're not going to get to see the like month long like tracking operation they've had on these guys on the news. They're just going to show you they've got them.
Yeah.
You know?
Anything else that comes to mind that you'd like to talk about?
I want to talk about how the streets of D.C. are twice as bad as they say. And so it's a good thing.
Not now.
Not anymore. No, yeah. Now it's a good.
Okay, you live there. So what? Yeah. You give me some insight on that, bad they were.
I saw so many phases of that place. So whenever I moved there when Obama was president,
mm-hmm.
And the city looked radically different than it did 4 years later. Because for a couple things, like, so whenever new presidents come in, like the whole city turns over because there's new employees. Everybody loses their jobs, moves back home. New people come in every 4 years. And so the city changes every time there's a new president. So Obama had a vibe. Trump had a vibe. Biden had a vibe. The Biden vibe was like lockdown. Like nobody can leave their house because it was during COVID. But which I think contributed to a lot of the crime.
Okay.
When I left there,
what year were you there? What
I was there from 2016 until 2023.
Okay.
Whenever I left, carjackings had gone up like 200%. People were getting like bricks thrown into baby strollers, like on the sidewalk. And I lived in a nice neighborhood. And but there, I guess, you know, I always said there's no such thing as a nice neighborhood in DC. It just has a fresh coat of paint.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's just the way it is. There's no culture there. Like, it's so transient. The only people that are going to be left over are going to be, like, the criminals and the homeless.
There's the only culture
that's their culture.
That stays.
Yeah, yeah. And so they just encouraged a lot of that during COVID. Like, the local government, the mayor, you know, was one of these let everybody out of jail. Had one of these programs, and they kept everybody out of school. Like, that's what was so bad about it, is they kept the kids out of school for like 2 years, and they all joined gangs.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hold that thought for 1 second. I got to let everybody know I got the Jake Loft in studio today with J Loft Company, my inside man on politics, what's going on, not only in the States, but also in D.C. Okay, so you think that the COVID, when they kept the kids at home, they all joined gangs.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
That's what happened. That's totally what happened. There's a couple of things. They legalized street vending too. That's why we lock things up at CVS now, is because they would go in there and steal shampoo and deodorant and laundry detergent and then set up a table outside and sell it.
Really?
And that was allowed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they legalized the street vending to, quote, allow people to sell food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have like, you know, guys set up little hot dog stands and whatever.
Yeah.
There was some of that, but mostly it was just stolen goods. So we had that. There's that. And then the kids were out of school, and you'd see them. They're pushing people down metro stairs. They're knocking them off scooters and breaking into Ubers. And like it really was like The Wire. Like, crime got so bad. And all these brand new apartment buildings that they built were all like vacant because everybody like started working from home or like moved out of the city during COVID. So now they're like Section 8 and stuff.
Oh boy.
Like in like a nice neighborhood. And so it's,
you know, supposedly the restaurants were having a hard time. It was so bad. People couldn't walk down the street. Did you experience that at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. In some of the more urban, urban center areas of the city, you would get robbed, like mugged and robbed. And
have you had any experience of getting in anything where you saw something or came close or
no? But I heard a lot of gunshots in my day, like more gunshots than I hear in St. Louis.
Yeah.
I used to live next to a big apartment complex that I think had some government assistance packages there, and you'd hear 50 shots in a row, like automatics. Then they'd respond, and then a bunch of cops would go by, and then that was it.
Okay. Like when you would go out.
I would hear that from my house.
but how about when you go out, go out on town, would you make sure that you're with your buddy? Any precautions that you make?
Yeah, you know, you just got to keep an eye out because there's just crazy homeless people everywhere that'll approach you or like pretend that they like try to distract you. And then somebody else will come up behind you and like steal your wallet or like weird little games like that. And I saw some people like, you know, getting in yelling matches and stuff. Mm-hmm. None of my friends were victims of any of these crimes, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are out there. So National Guard needed. Yeah, yeah. Totally needed. And the mayor seems to be okay with it. So there's, I don't know what the problem is.
Have you been back to DC lately?
No, I get back to DC probably three or four times a year, but I haven't been at all this year. I'm going in December. So I'll come back in December and I'll tell you what's going on in the streets.
Hey, we'll switch over a little bit on Illinois politics. You know, of course, you know, you got the governor and the mayor of Chicago. You know, they don't want deportation of anybody, you know, as far as illegals, et cetera. And ICE is going, there's a lot going on there with that. But What do you think about the governor Pritzker, you know, in 28 reelection? Is it an automatic for him? Can he possibly get upset and somebody get in there?
I don't know who Illinois has to run against him in a
That's
state.
That's what I mean. Is there anything?
There is no Republican bench in Illinois.
There's nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. I think there is. There's a possibility that a Republican becomes governor after he vacates his position. So if he runs for president, and I don't know if you have to vacate in Illinois or not to run, but if he runs for president and isn't governor again, then there's a possibility that Illinois could elect a Republican governor. I mean, there was a time when Illinois only had Republican governors, mm-hmm. you know, but that was a different time in politics. Yeah. Parties were pretty similar at that time.
So now unless something happens, unless somebody comes out of the woodwork, You don't think it'll happen. You think he'll just stay in office.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's young. He could hold it for forever. Right. Yeah.
and there's no limitations. He can
run everything. No, unless the legislature somehow puts on term limits, like a lot of states have. Like Missouri has term limits. Totally support term limits in all areas. And
I as well.
So the fun thing interesting thing was going on with Pritzker. So Pritzker and Newsom, Gavin Newsom in California, are both standing up to the president in a bunch of ways. Mm-hmm. Newsom is redistricting his own state, right? Because the president wanted to redistrict Texas to like lock in Congress forever. That's kind of an interesting way to look at it, though. Like I think what he's saying is we've moved so many illegal immigrants around that now the demographics have changed in each of these congressional districts, and it's worth taking another look at, at least in Texas, and they did it in Texas. We're doing it in Missouri too. So So there's two states that are like all over the news about this. Missouri is the other one. It's a lot less consequential though. Like we're changing it from a six Republicans to two Democrat congressional map to seven and one is like what they want. So we get an extra Republican in Congress. Mm-hmm. That's what the president wants. The governor is cool with it, and we're doing it. In California, the governor is not cool with it, and Illinois, they're not trying to redistrict Illinois. They're trying to deport illegal immigrants and clean up Chicago. But Pritzker is standing up to the president on that. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It's just some like jockeying. Like we're seeing political jockeying among the Democratic possible candidates for president.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Pritzker's going anywhere. I don't think Chicago is going to get fixed. I think he's going to hold up the National Guard long enough to where we're just like, well, let's just let him fail.
Yeah.
Send him into New York is where we need send him. My God. The demographics of New York have totally changed. This is why illegal immigration is bad. So if you see what happened in New York, they've shipped in so many people, not necessarily illegal immigrants or foreigners exactly, just people from all over the place that are not true New Yorkers, and their politics have totally changed. Now they're like on the verge of electing a literal communist.
Right.
Right? Like that would have never happened. No Democrat would even say these things 20 years ago. And that's what is going to happen to like the United States as a whole if we don't like all get on the same page about something.
Yeah.
Right, like whether illegal immigrants or the idea that we can just assassinate political enemies, like it all of that stuff is going to add up into like a change in our politics.
Yes. So, do you think what do you think is going to happen with the mayor race in New York? You think he's going to win?
I kind of want him to win because I want it to be such a disaster that they never run like this again. Like I think that he's so unqualified, and he's going to walk in there and realize that he was wholly unprepared for this, and it's going to totally be a disaster. And then that's going to like scare anybody else like that off. That's what I kind of want to happen. Andrew Cuomo is not a bad politician or a bad legislator. He comes from a different time of Democrats. He's not like a radical leftist. He's from a long family of New York politicians. Uh-huh. So he's corrupt and is in many ways as anybody else. I'd rather him win, but I want New York to fall. Like I want to see New York just fall down so hard that they turn into Portland or San Francisco, and somebody goes in there and cleans them up again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about St. Louis?
St. Louis fell many years ago. St. Louis has been down since Ozzie Smith left.
Oh, shoot.
Have you seen the Cardinals lately? You know, I've been saying for years that when it's hot outside and the Cardinals are playing bad, crime is through the roof.
And, oh boy!
And we're seeing it. We're right in the middle of it. At least we're getting a little break on the heat. But we need to clean St. Louis up. St. Louis is bad for a lot of problems, not because of like left-wing communists coming in. It's because of the powers that be neglecting the black community and using them as like pawns and stuff. Yeah. Like that's the problem in St. Louis.
Yes. Well, Jake, any last thoughts before we wrap this interview up with you today?
Oh, final thoughts. I'm happy to be here. I was just thinking, when I was driving in here today, I was like looking, I was like, wow, it's going to be a really good, like, the corn just looks so good. Yeah. Like, it's going to be such a good yield this year. And I like that. I'm so happy to see that. And I don't get that in the city.
You know, it's really fun for me having you come in and we talk and we have a relationship because your grandpa and I, Bernie Loft was my industrial arts teacher in high school, and he was such an influence and a mentor to me, you know, and I know you have to love this guy. I mean, isn't he a great
totally,
guy?
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, he's like
the guy can build.
I mean, just his the way he thinks, the way his personality, the way he is, he was a great teacher. And so shout out to Bernie Loft, my old industrial arts teacher at Calhoun High School. Great guy, and your grandfather.
Yes, that's right. I'll make sure that he sees that. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, he listens. He'll listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll know that. All right. Thanks for coming in. Always a pleasure. All right. And you take care, and good luck to you.
Thanks, Chris. I'll be back whenever you'll have me. I'll wear your listeners out.
I know you will. Take care. Bye.